I will now request my respected Ustad and teacher of Tafsir and Hadith at our Madrasa Jamia Riyadhul Ulum, Mufti Suleiman Sahib Lasania, to come forward and enlighten us with his words of advice and wisdom.
نحمده ونسلم ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد قال الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. Today's gathering has been inaugurated for the completion of the most authentic book after the Quran, Al-Jami al-Sahih Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah. This gathering, no doubt, is very blessed, and what doubt can there be when the gathering will entail the discussion and the mention of our most beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, I would like to mention an important aspect with regards to this gathering and a relationship between this book and our era today and the times we're living in. One of the most astounding features of today's gathering and the completion of this book is related to the fact that this book has been transmitted to us through eras, to centuries, through the whole of Islamic history, from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam till us. It has been transmitted to us, and I'm using the word transmitted to us. It has been passed down to us. Today's gathering is not about mere completion of a book. It's not about reading a book or studying a book or going through a book from the beginning to the end. This is not the only part of this gathering. Many people, they study different sciences, and when you study a science, then you study in various ways. We study in the form of lectures or in form of courses. The study of Islamic studies is found, and people discuss various topics. Our gathering today is not confined to a single topic or aspect of Islam. We are talking about the transmission of a book. And this word transmission, and this transmission that has happened, it is a unique feature. It is a unique feature of this ummah. There is no speciality, and there is no significance, or there is no remarkable significance. If we studied a book and we inaugurated a gathering, but the remarkable feature of today is that we are completing this most authentic book after the Quran in a specific manner, and that manner is that it has been transmitted to us, and this chain of narration and this isnad and this chain that is has reached us, and this book that has reached us and has been transmitted to us, has been transmitted by person after person, which can be identified and linked in this great chain, this golden chain, all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a great feature of this ummah. It has made so much effort that it has preserved this deen and this knowledge and these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this unique manner. This unique manner. This is a feature which is specific to this ummah. No other ummah has been able to, or has had this tawfiq to preserve the teachings and the sayings of their prophet in this manner. I am not saying that they have no teachings of their prophet, but the authenticity and the link that has been maintained by this ummah. Rather, the ulama have mentioned that this ummah has been inspired. Alhamahumullahu shiddat al-bahthi. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired this ummah to extensively discuss and maintain this knowledge all the way from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till this day. How much extensivity has been put into this? Our dear students, in this final year, they cover approximately 40,000 ahadith. So someone may wonder that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a span of 23 years, and you can say in the last 10 years of his life, which is the crucial part of his years, where the teachings of the deen are passed on, the deen has been given to the ummah in terms of practicality and in terms of understanding. So how can 40,000 statements be recorded in such a manner? These are just the 40,000 we are discussing in this few books, 6-7 books. Whereas the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the books related to the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when there is a link and there is a chain, there are many more than this. So this 40,000, how do we get 40,000 statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So the fact is that if you confine the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you may not get 40,000. But the very same statements have been narrated through various ways. And each way and each chain which comes to different students and reaches Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the various chains when added together, they come to 40,000 approximately. Why has this been inspired to the ummah to extensively preserve the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in these various ways, that so many different chains to different students reach Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? It is to preserve the authenticity and the correctness of the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that his deen can reach us in his most pristine and pure form. This is a great service of the ulama and the mashayikh and the students of knowledge and the ulama that have there put in, so that this deen reaches us. So that this deen reaches us in its pristine form. There is no change in this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam foretold this in his ahadith, that time will come when people will try to change this deen. People will add things to this deen. People will misinterpret this deen. People will change, try to change the shape and form of this deen. But there will always be a group of people who will maintain this deen. How will they be able to maintain this deen? How will they know what the pure deen is? They will know the purity of this deen because of the chain that through which this deen has been transmitted to them. That is what we find as Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah's famous statement regarding the chain. The lawla al-isnad, if there was no chain, لَقَالَ مَنْ شَاءَ مَا شَاءَ, that a person can say whatever he wants then. Any person will say this is part of deen. And that's what you find, where there is no knowledge, when there is no authentic ulama, where there is no people of deen, people there, they say what they want. And they say this is part of deen. They say this is part of Quran. They say this is part of sunnah. Because around them there is no people of knowledge. Because there is no people of knowledge around them, they say what they want. And they attribute this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the people of haqq come, when the people of knowledge come, when the ulama come to know this, or when they refer this back to the ulama, then they come to realize that what this person is saying or what is being said has no basis in deen. That is why Hazrat Sufyan al-Thawri rahmatullah used to say that al-isnadu salahul mu'min, that the isnad is the weapon of the believer. If there is no weapon, if there is no isnad, or if he has no weapon, then how is he going to fight? How is he going to wage war against those people who are trying to distort the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Without the isnad, without the chain of narration, it is not possible to refute those people who claim things which are against the teaching of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah, he mentions in another statement that if a person wishes to say with something with regards to deen without isnad, without a chain, then he is like a person who is trying to climb up without any ladder. How can a person climb up without a ladder? If he wants to get to the roof, he needs a ladder. If you want to get to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you want to get to the teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you need this isnad, you need this chain, you need this ladder to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a remarkable feature of our gathering today is the transmission of this book. That the completion of the transmission of this authentic book of Rasulullah, of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, completes today. This is definitely a blessed gathering. What I want to draw your attention today now is to the point that this isnad and this ittisal and this chain that goes to all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not only about the book. is not only about the words. It's not only confined to these words that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his features were like this. It's not merely about the transmission of these words that has come to us. It's not merely the transmission of the words. The actual transmission that has happened from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to today is the transmission of the deen, is the transmission of the amal, is the transmission of the understanding, as the transmission of the essence with which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world. This has been transmitted to us. This has been transmitted to us through a chain. Just the words being transmitted to us, even that is a very remarkable feature. But that is not the only remarkable thing that is happening. The remarkable thing that is happening is the words and the essence behind the words, the understanding behind the words, the ruh and the spirit behind the words, the essence behind the words have been transmitted to us through this chain. And this is the most important feature that the Ahl al-Haq and the people of Haq, they profess. And this is the distinguishing feature between Ahl al-Batil and the people of wrong, a people of deviation, people of innovation. Between them and the people of Haq, this is the greatest differentiation factor that we will find. And it is this very point Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he conveyed to his Sahaba in various ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about holding fast to this deen by the words alaykum bi sunnati. You see, what we need to understand is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a tick box religion. We don't have a list of things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, okay, this is your list. And in your life, you need to tick these boxes. This deen is not about tick boxes. It's not about ticking a box that I came for Fajr today, and I came for Zuhr today, and I came for Asr today, and I prayed my Maghrib, and I prayed my Isha, and I prayed this tasbih, and I prayed that tasbih. The deen is not a tick box. A deen is a spirit, and is an essence which came from the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it embodied itself into the beings of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. This is a deen that has come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was transmitted to the people. That is why it is very important, and this point that is mentioned about Sahaba and in the coming to the gathering of the Sahaba into the pious people, it is this very fact that this deen is not about learning a list of things to do in this world. It's not matter of learning a few things, or it's not matter of ticking a few boxes in your life that in my youth I have done this, and in my old age I have done this, and in my later life I need to do these few things. This is not what deen is. Deen is a spiritual thing. It is a isti'dad, it is a capability which is found inside a person's heart, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed, and he passed on to his Sahaba. Did the Sahaba have a book? Did the Sahaba have a list? Did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu, and all the Sahaba ashar mubashara, did he give him a list that this is what you need to do when I die? Did he give him a list that these are the things you need to take in your life? He didn't do that. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they sat with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they engaged with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed this special isti'dad, this capability, this deen into their hearts, into their lives, until it became part of them. It became such a part of them that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in his final stages of his life, he is able to say, alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa'i al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. He's able to say this, hold fast to my sunnah. What is my sunnah? My sunnah is the sunnah of the khulafa'i al-rashidin al-mahdiyin. He's able to say this. What does it mean? What is he telling us? That this deen that I have come with, the way I have conveyed it to my Sahaba, the way I have conveyed it to my students, my Sahaba, my beloved Sahaba, how I conveyed it to them, that they have engrossed this deen into their heart and mind in such a way that whatever they will do, they will not go out the parameters and the hudud that I have set for them. That is why the Prophet ﷺ, he can say this, اِقْتَدُوا بِالَّذِينَ بِالَّذَيْنِ بَعْدِي. Follow those two people after me, who? Abu Bakr wa Umar. He can say, وَاَحْتَدُوا بِهَدِي عَمَّارِ. He can say, وَتَمَسَّكُوا بِأَهْدِ ابْنِ مَسْعُودِ. Why can he say these things? Why can he say it? أَصْحَابِ كَالنَّجُومِ. Although this hadith may be weak, but why can he say this? أَصْحَابِ كَالنَّجُومِ. The Nujum, they are my Sahaba like stars. Why did he convey this? That after me, what do you need to do? You need to follow my Sahaba. Did he give them a manual before he left? That they had this manual with them, and they will be able to tell you that, okay, you need to do these few things. No. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he conveyed his deen and this religion, this knowledge, this wahi, in a manner that he colored and he painted the lives of the Sahaba in such a manner that wherever they were and whatever time they were in, whatever era they were in, wherever they sat, they knew exactly whether they had heard the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ or not. They knew with their faculty, they knew what to do. Otherwise, why would Rasulullah ﷺ be able to send Hazrat Ali down to Yemen? How would he be able to send Abu Musa Ashari to Yemen? How would he be able to send Mu'ad ibn Jabal to Yemen and tell them to go and teach the Rajul deen to them? He asked Mu'ad ibn Jabal, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to order, I'm going to teach the people, and I'm going to order, and I'm going to command by the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am going to command by your teachings. He said, what about if you don't have anything like that in your mind? He said, I'm going to do ijtihad. What ijtihad? I am going to think carefully into the Quran and Sunnah, and I am going to tell them what to do according to my understanding. If Rasulullah ﷺ didn't have faith, and if he didn't have the trust, or if he didn't feel that he had conveyed his deen in his essence into the life of Hazrat Mu'adh bin Jabal, how would he be able to trust him and say, no, I'm happy that you are going to do ijtihad? How is he going to do ijtihad? He's going to ijtihad in that nur and that spirituality, in that deen that which he has acquired from Rasulullah ﷺ. My dear respected brothers and elders, it is very important for us to understand that this deen that is coming to us in this isnad, this religion that is coming to us in this chain of narration, is not matter of tick boxes, it's not matter of a few words here and there. It is a deen that is coming from one heart to another heart. The transmission is not just about a book. The transmission is not just about a few words. The transmission is about this deen that is transmitted from one heart to another heart. From one person to another person. And what this is coming from one heart to another heart is not the words that are coming out. His actions and his ruhaniyat and his spirituality, which is embodied in his life and mind. That is why it's very important that when you go to seek knowledge, when you go to put your knees in front of someone, it has to be a person who has acquired this deen in this manner. He has acquired this deen in this manner. If he has only acquired the deen, or if he has only acquired the words without transmission, or if he has only acquired the words from a few books here and there, when he has not embedded this deen into his life, how can he transmit the deen to you? How can he transmit the deen to you? How can he be authority for you? It is not possible for him to be authority for you. He cannot explain the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. Because this deen is not a few words. It is a ruhaniyat, it is a spirituality which is being transmitted here. And this transmission that has taken place, that has taken place from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu, they took this from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they gave this to the Tabi'een. They gave this to the Tabi'at Tabi'een. And that is why you will find this in the pious predecessors. You will find this in the pious predecessors about going and sitting in front and holding fast to the company of the pious people. Holding fast to the company of the mashayikh. Holding fast to those people who understood the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will find Tabin, he was saying, making dua, oh Allah, give me the opportunity to sit in the company of the pious people. One tabi, he says, I made this dua that Allah give me the opportunity to sit in the company of the pious people. And Allah Ta'ala gave me the company of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So I said this to Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that I made this dua and I got the tawfiq to sit in your company. So he said, where are you from? He said, from Kufa. I said, do you not know that Sahabi Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu? What is Abu Huraira saying here? He's saying, if you want to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a person in Kufa as well. He's not only here. To understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you cannot understand it just by the words. You have to see it in action. You have to see it in its pure form. And that is why the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi'in, all the way to us, this deen was transmitted to us. This ruhaniyah, this spirituality, this understanding, this capability, it was passed on to us. Passed on to us till our pious predecessors, till our akabir, till our elders, till our teachers and their teachers who we have taken the knowledge from. How did they acquire this? What was the level of acquisition of this transmission? I will just mention 2 points and I will finish. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi. Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, we have maybe heard this incident many times. The Hazrat Haji Indullah Mahaji Makki rahmatullahi alayhi asked him to present to him his spiritual condition. So Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, Hazrat Mawla Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentioned three things. I want to explain this, mention these three things to you to understand what this transmission means. He's mentioned three things. What did he mention? He said, at this moment, my condition is that if anyone praises me or disgraces me, it makes no difference to me. I'm not affected by anyone's praise. I'm not affected by anyone's disgrace. I'm not affected by them. The second thing he mentioned was that all the Quran and Hadith, all the text that has been transmitted to us, I find no contradiction in it. Everything is clear cut for me. At no point do I struggle to understand that what did the Prophet mean here, or what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mean here, because there is an apparent contradiction. I find no contradiction. Everything is clear cut for me. And the third thing he mentioned, that this deen and following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become nature to me. I don't find it a burden. I don't find it a chore. I don't have to program myself that today I need to do this. I never have to program myself that today I must do these few things. Everything is natural for me. To follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is natural for me. What are these three things? What are these three statements? What are these three statements of Hazrat Gangohi rahmatullahi alayhi? What is he saying here? If you try to analyze the first one, that he is saying that no one's praise or disgrace makes any difference to me. He has reached such a state of spirituality and closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for him everything is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For him everything revolves around Allah. If someone's happy with me, someone said to me, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is happy with me, and as long as my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, al-bughdu fillah wal-hubbu fillah is in his essence, in his life, that I do not hurt anyone, I don't care about anyone, I don't have any regards to anyone's praise or disgrace, because I only look with my connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The height of spirituality, where a person doesn't feel anything, because he's at all times focused on his connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says that the nusus and the text, I find no contradiction in them. This shows his height in the understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His depth of knowledge, his vastness of knowledge, And this capability and this istidad which is passed on of ruhaniyati and spirituality, and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is passed on, his understanding of deen is to this level that he finds no contradiction. He doesn't find anything out of place. This shows his height of knowledge and his depth of knowledge. And he is able to practice the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becoming his nature. It shows how much he is linked and his relationship with the deen is not strange. It is so connected that it is part of his life. The mashayikh and the ulama who are of this caliber that we can call them ulama, this is the state they have. And this is a transmission, and this is a state of transmission of deen that comes into them. When they acquire the deen from their pious elders, the whole deen comes in such a manner that they are fully able to understand the deen without even referring to the nusus. That is why you find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, him saying in the hadith that ittaqi firasat al-mu'min, beware of the firasa of the mu'min. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said istafti qalbak, ask your heart. Ask your heart, meaning if you are a person of sound deen and sound nature, and you have acquired this deen in the correct manner, your heart will be able to tell you what is right and wrong. Until we do not acquire the deen, or we don't go to such people to acquire the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will never be able to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will never be able to claim that we are following the right thing. And that is why you find in the letter of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayh, when someone asked him about some deviated sects, if you read this letter, the words of this letter are a guidance for us in this time. There are guidance for us in this time. He says in the letter is quite long, but one part of the letter, because people are deviating from the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of their understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he say in there? He says the sunnah has been given to us, has been stipulated to us by a being who knows what right and wrong is. We cannot interpret ourselves, and we cannot decide what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand. We cannot say that, oh Allah ta'ala, this is how it's supposed to be. Allah ta'ala has already given us the sunnah. He has already set the way for us. He knows what right and wrong is. He has set the sunnah. And he has set the sunnah, and he said, Umar ibn Aziz rahmatullah says, be content with yourself. Be content with yourself with the way of the pious people. Why? Because they have understood the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have understood the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that they do not need to add anything into this, and they do not need to diminish anything from this, despite them having all the text that you have. In the letter he says in one place that you say that what about this verse of the Quran, what about this verse of the Quran, what about this and what about this? He says that you are trying to bring something new into this deen, and you are saying there's this hadith, and there's this Quran, and there's this verse. So you are trying to say that the people before you, they never knew about this. He said these people, they knew this verse of the Quran, they knew this hadith of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they knew this verse of the Quran. Despite knowing this, they still set this path. So because they have set this path, knowing these ahadith, knowing these verses of the Quran, this is the righteous thing. Because this is the sunnah, and this is what has been transmitted to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what has come to us through the medium of the Sahaba and the Tabi'in to us. If this is what has come to us, despite these verses of the Quran, and despite these ahadith, when this has come to us, then who are we to say that this is not the sunnah? Who are we to say that this is not the way of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? That is why in one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us about such people, that they will come in future. People will come. They will come in the future and they will say new things. What new things will they say? They will say such new things, and they will
adorn their words. And they will say certain things, but people will say, what is he saying? I've never heard of that before. And this time and age we find this. That someone is saying this, and someone is saying that. And people, they think that our past predecessors, our elders, our akabir, those who have reached this level of spirituality, like I mentioned about Hazrat Gongori Rahmatullahi, they have reached their stages. They have understood the Quran and the Hadith. That Quran and Hadith, that essence, that capability, that istidad, that ruhaniyati, that spirituality was passed on to them. Their life was embodied. Their life was embodied in this Quran and Sunnah to a degree that they would think Quran and Sunnah. They would walk to Quran and Sunnah. Their life was Quran and Sunnah in such a manner that if any new thing would come, a person could say that how did this person act upon the Quran and Sunnah in this manner, and he would know what the Sunnah would be. He would know what the Sunnah would be. And you will find people coming and they will be saying that no, this is what the Hadith is saying, or this is what the Quran is saying. What about this verse of the Quran? What do you think about this verse of this Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And we will say, what is he saying? So the Prophet warned us that stay away from these people. These are not the people that you should be following. Who should you be following? The people you should be following are those people who have understood the Quran and Hadith through a chain of narration, through a Sunnah, through a Sanad, through a link to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why it's very important to understand that these days, that although there is a widespread of knowledge, or you can say there is a widespread of facility to acquire knowledge. Knowledge is not just about a few words. Knowledge is not about a few words. Knowledge is about that spirituality that comes with this knowledge, the understanding that comes with this knowledge. And that can only be acquired when you sit in the company of the pious people, when you sit in the company of those people who have acquired this knowledge in this way. And it is a matter of great peace and tranquility, great satisfaction, that when we look at our teachers, and when we look at the life of their teachers, and when we look at the chain through which this deen has reached us, we find the satisfaction. And we find this peace and this satisfaction that the deen that is coming to us, and the understanding of that deen that is coming to us, is coming in a pure, pristine way. Coming in a pure, pristine way. Hazrat Umar ibn Aziz rahmatullahi, he mentions one place in that letter, that فَمَا دُونَهُ مِنْ مَقْسَرٍ وَمَا فَوْكَهُ مِنْ مَحْسَرٍ. He mentions in that letter in one place that if you deviate from the way of these pious people, if you go a bit down, if you take a bit less, then you'll be deficient in your deen. And if you try to be more clever, or you try to be more excessive, then you will only have regret. Because this deen is pristine, it has the quality of fairness, of quality of i'tidal, quality of moderation. Hazrat Mufti Rafi Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, mentioning in one lecture, he said, what is the Ubadiyyat? What is our akabir? What is this deen? He said, what is it? He said, it is i'tidal. And what is it, i'tidal? It is holding firm to the fast of the Sunnah. Our akabir and our pious predecessors, they had nothing to do with this world. They had no motives of this world. They had no motive in putting something to deen which was not part of deen. They had no motive of diminishing the deen. They have no motive in this. They had no worldly motive. If you look at their lives, they were far away from the world things. They had nothing to do with the world. World was nothing for them. If you look at their lives, ambitions, worldly ambitions, was nothing for them. Stage, any responsibility, there was nothing for them. Their concern was only the safeguarding of this deen is pristine, pure form. And that is why if you look into their lives, you'll find them on two battlefields. You'll find them on two battlefields. One battlefield is what? In refuting the bid'at, in the innovations, the extra things that are coming to deen. And you find them on the next battlefield, where people are trying to diminish the deen and take things away from the deen. You find them on that battlefield. In both these battlefields, you'll find our akabir. You'll find them, our akabir, on these both battlefields. And you'll find them in their lives, holding fast to the teachings of Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why I end today with this message, that let us hold fast to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in all holding fast to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is very important that we sit in the company of those people who have acquired the deen in this manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the tawfiq to practice the wa'azim mentioned.